studying the message this morning. You've probably heard of the term frozen chosen. It's good to be chosen. Amen. Yes. The Lord chooses us. It's good to be chosen. The frozen part, not so much. But thank you so much, each of you, for coming out this morning. It's good to come together, even with a small group, to worship, isn't it? I just was experiencing that as we sang that song.
We know that God's Spirit is with us. As we think about 2018, it's a new year. I don't know if that's kind of old hat to us. In a way, it is. And, you know, resolutions are meant to be broken, and so we stop making them, and maybe that's okay. But it is a new year, and I think it's worth stopping and considering that fact. And the message goes along with that idea of it's a new year, new possibilities, new purposes. I want to direct your attention. We're so glad to have our banners up today for the first time. And if you didn't know, our theme for the year is Connect. And as you can see, Connect first quarter, first 3 months, connect to His purpose. And so we're talking about that this morning. And then we'll look at connect to His passion, connect to His power, and finally connect to His victory. So we're excited about the theme of our worship and our preaching for 2018. And we start out with connecting to His purpose. And I want to ask each of us to think about, if someone asked you, what is your purpose in life? Do you have a personal mission statement? Is yours, is mine, a purpose-driven life? Do we have a purpose that absorbs us and drives us and motivates us? Do you? You know, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Of course, we know that companies have those sorts of things, and even a church. Didn't we have banners back there before? What happened to them? It's okay. Is it just the cold and I can't see them? No, they're not there. Even at a church, we have a mission statement, don't we? And of course, companies do. And I wanted to share just a couple examples with you. And first, I don't think I have the name of it, so I'll let you see if you can guess it. Okay. See if you can guess which company has this as their mission statement or their purpose statement. Okay? And I like it a lot, by the way. And in many ways, I think it'd be good for a church or an individual Christian to have this as their purpose mission statement, to refresh the world. Isn't that great? Wouldn't it be nice if we as Christians were refreshing to the people around us? Wouldn't it be? Yeah, would be. All right, you're thinking, right? To refresh the world in mind, body, and spirit. Whoa, that's including everything, isn't it? To inspire moments of optimism and happiness through our brands and actions. Okay, your turn. What company, it's a very well-known company, has this as their mission statement or purpose statement? Anybody? What? Kellogg's. That's not a bad guess. Not a bad guess. That's not right, but it's... No, it really isn't. Oh, good, I heard it. Coca-Cola. She had it right. Coca-Cola Company, and I guess there's more to it than simply Coke, the beverage, to refresh the world. Again, I like it. All right, the next one. This is an easier one, I think. To organize the world's information Make it universally accessible and useful. Google. Okay, that wasn't hard. That wasn't hard. They've done a good job, haven't they? So much so that now Google has become a verb, right? Go, yeah, Google it. So they've done a good job at, what shall we say, fulfilling their mission, their purpose. So that I could share that with you, and you, most people know that's Google. That's on a corporate level. But there's also I don't know how recent it is, for me it was recent, a trend of individuals making up personal mission statements. That people actually write what their purpose is in life as individuals. And that's what I'd like you to think about with regard to our message this morning. I don't expect you to know this. You'll know this person, but this is an individual who has a very, very large company. This is not his company's mission statement. It's his own personal mission statement. Sir Richard Branson. Anybody know who he is? Yeah, he's the head of the Virgin Corporation, Virgin Air. I think he has a telephone thing. He's talked about travel to space, all sorts of things, records, CDs, I know that they do as well. And they don't have to be serious, all of them. To have fun in my journey through life and to learn from my mistakes. That's a pretty good mission statement, isn't it? We could all do much worse. Someone else, and I don't have it written down, just hold off on the next one, please. Joel Mandy, I'd never heard of this person, CEO of the Hirschend Family Entertainment Group. His personal mission statement is to love God and love others. Not exactly original, but you certainly cannot fault the source of that one, could you? Jesus himself spoke of that, loving God and loving others. Two more I just want to share with you. One that struck me that I really liked, our family mission. Some family came up with this, I don't know exactly who. No empty chairs. That's good, isn't it? It says a lot, doesn't it? We want to be inclusive, we want to be welcoming, we want to be hospitable, we want our home to be a place where people feel welcome. No empty chairs. And then finally, maybe my favorite one more, okay? I want to be the kind of person my dog already thinks I am. Now, anyone who has a dog knows that this is a very high calling, okay? This is serious. There is, as we talk about some of those examples, is a very, there's a great upside to having a purpose-driven life, to having a mission statement. A few years back, NPR, National Public Radio, had an article entitled, "People Who Feel They Have a Purpose in Their Life Live Longer." So you better pay attention to this. And they talked about a study at the University of Rochester Medical Center. And they looked to see how 6,000 people answered questions like this. Some people wander aimlessly through life, but I am not one of them. And other questions like that. They asked 6,000 people questions like that. And they found that 14 years after those questions were asked, people who reported a greater sense of purpose and direction in life were more likely to outlive their peers. Interesting, huh? So people who had that sense of purpose and mission actually lived longer than their peers, than other people like them. In fact, it says people with a sense of purpose had a 15% lower risk of death compared with those who said that they were more or less just aimless. You know, they just went wherever the wind blew. And this is encouraging, it didn't seem to matter when people found their purpose or their direction. You know, it could be when they were in their 20s, their 50s, their 70s. It didn't matter. Sense of purpose just allowed people to move forward and to live longer, literally. So really, when I ask you that question, do you have a purpose in life? There's really a great upside to that, to answering in the affirmative. We know that people who have mission and purpose, you know, they have a direction they're going, they are motivated, they have a direction, they're focused. You know, when you have that sense of purpose, when you come to difficult times in your life, you simply can look at your purpose and it will help you to know what to do. Because this is my purpose, this is my mission, and that clarifies things, doesn't it? It does. Now, Christians who believe in, you know, eternal realities, we believe in spiritual realities, you know, we ought to know our purpose, shouldn't we? We should. You know, if these great companies like Coke and Google have mission purposes, shouldn't we, who believe in things much greater, have a purpose in our own lives? Certainly we should. To be able to answer the question, you know, why am I here? Why has God called me? We should know the answer to those questions. We should have a specific purpose for our own lives. And those answers to those questions we find in the written word, the Bible, but also through Jesus Christ, the living word. And I want us to look at those sources for a few moments here this morning. And to ask the question, did Jesus have a purpose-driven life? Of course, he did. Did Jesus have a mission? Okay, yes, I think we're all agreed on that. Did Jesus have a mission statement? Well, I'd submit to you, yes, he did. Okay, I'm gonna show you in Scripture. The Gospels don't really record this, Jesus' mission statement, but I think we find it pretty clearly. Our first Scripture, Luke chapter 19, verse 10, is the story of Zacchaeus. And after Jesus came to his house and just radically changed everything about Zacchaeus, brought him into his kingdom, Zacchaeus had a conversion experience, and after all that was done, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." I submit to you that that was Jesus' mission statement. Anybody disagree? You can speak up. We'll have somebody interpret. No, truly I do. The Son of Man, referring to that title for the Messiah, has come to seek and to save the lost. Jesus said, that's why I came to earth, to seek and save the lost. Now, we can think of that in terms of people, humans, individuals, which is very true, but it's also true in a much greater sense that Jesus came not only to redeem individuals, but he came to redeem all of creation. Everything ultimately is going to find its fulfillment and renewal through the power of Christ, to seek and save the lost, the world, nature, creation, everything. Another verse, which I think also goes along with the one I shared, Matthew 20:28. Jesus says, just as the Son of Man, again, the title for the Messiah, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Very similar, wouldn't you say, to Luke chapter 19? They go together, don't they? Wouldn't you agree? Yes. Jesus came to serve. And specifically, as he says there, the way that he came to serve was to give his life as a ransom for many, for people. I submit to you, those are the purposes that drove Jesus. That was his mission. Now, we know Jesus was many things, and people will emphasize different things. Now, Jesus was a teacher, wasn't he? Of course. He was a great teacher. Maybe the greatest teacher of all. But that wasn't his purpose, to simply come as a teacher. Jesus, if you look at his life, gave us a wonderful example of how to live, didn't he? He did. But that wasn't his primary purpose in coming, was to be an example. Jesus was a great deliverer, wasn't he? He healed people. He freed them from all sorts of evil things. But that wasn't his primary mission in coming, was to simply do miracles. Jesus came as a provider. He met people's needs. But that wasn't his primary purpose in coming, though he was that and is that today. Jesus came to be our Savior. That's the main thing. That was his primary purpose. That was his mission, to be the, in the Gospel of John, the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. Jesus' mission, his purpose, was to sacrifice himself on the cross for the redemption of the world, which includes us, all of us. That was his purpose. And if we miss that about Jesus, then we've really missed who he is, who he was. Then we miss his purpose. And we really don't understand Jesus, or I would say we misunderstand Jesus if we miss his purpose in coming. And we know at a very early age, Jesus had this self-awareness, didn't he? You remember, wasn't he 12, I think, in the temple? And his parents lost him for a half a day or so, and he was in the temple talking to the, who was he talking to? The scribes, the teachers, the priests, and they kind of scolded him for, you know, why didn't you keep up with us? And Jesus said, what? I must be about my Father's business. In other words, I've got a purpose, I've got a mission, and I'm on it. So that, you know, that purpose drove his life. Jesus had a purpose-driven life. Our scripture this morning, I want to look at just first verse of Luke chapter 9, verse 51, first verse of the scripture. Notice this was towards the end of his ministry. And Jesus knew what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem. And his disciples and other people were saying, you don't want to go to Jerusalem because the priests and the people, they're against you there. Something bad could happen. Unbeknownst to them, they do not realize that this was Jesus' purpose. Even though he had told them, hadn't he, his disciples over and over again, the Son of Man's going to go to Jerusalem, they're going to kill him, and then he'll be raised. So notice what it says there, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven. That is, his time on earth is almost done. This is the NIV. It says, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, knowing what was going to happen. But he knew that was part of his purpose. And again, not just part, that was his purpose, to give his life a sacrifice for sins. And I believe down a verse or two, and I didn't have it up there, but I noticed during the scripture reading, it says, didn't it say something about the disciples rebuked him, or what was it? Anybody still have that? What do we got, Dunbar? Anything there? How did the disciples respond? Okay, yes. Says the people, as he passed through a town, didn't welcome him because he was going to Jerusalem. They were afraid of what was going to happen to him. They did not embrace his purpose. But it says, Jesus says, he resolutely set his face. Different translations, yes, I think the King James says something, he steadfastly set his face towards Jerusalem. It's like he, you know, this is where I need to go. This is my purpose. This is my mission. If I don't go to Jerusalem, if I don't face the rejection, the humiliation, the death on the cross, then I haven't fulfilled my mission. Another translation has it, he determined to go. Wouldn't you like to have a purpose, a mission that just drives you, motivates you, helps you decide in every situation what you ought to do? You just have that single-mindedness that, you know, not going left or right, I'm going, there's my purpose. One other scripture, just to show Jesus' determination. It's from John chapter 12, verse 27. Again, this comes right before his passion, his suffering. Jesus says, now my soul is troubled, as he anticipates the experience of that purpose fulfilled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason. We could say for this very purpose. It was for this mission that I have come to this hour. So Jesus is saying, I can't go any other direction. There's parts of this I want to avoid, but this is my purpose. This is my mission. And so he steadfastly, went to Jerusalem so his purpose would be fulfilled. He had this single-mindedness that wouldn't allow him to be deterred. One of Albert Einstein's assistants recounts a story that he felt was most descriptive of Einstein. And he talks about Ian Einstein had finished preparation of a paper, and they were looking for a paper clip by which they could fasten the paper together. And they looked and looked and looked, couldn't find a paper clip until they finally, looking through the drawers, they found a paper clip, but it was so badly bent, it couldn't be used. So they looked and looked some more, opened some more drawers, found a whole box of brand new paper clips. And Einstein immediately took one of those brand new paper clips and began to fashion it into a tool by which he could fix the bent one. And his assistant said, well, what are you doing? And he says, once I am set on a purpose, it becomes almost impossible to deflect me. Wouldn't you like to have purpose like that? To be able to go so straight, undeterred by anything else, to accomplish what God has called you for. And that was Jesus. That was Jesus. That he could not be deflected either way because of this purpose-driven life that he lived. And how grateful you and I should be because Jesus was so purpose-driven. Let me connect and think about just for a few minutes here as we conclude. Our purpose and his purpose. Two ideas here I want to relate to you and suggest that in a sense, you and I can help Jesus to fulfill his purpose. So what do I mean by that? What was Jesus' purpose? Do you remember that from a few minutes ago? What was his purpose? Okay, to seek and save the lost. So how can we, and you might be thinking of it in a different way, and you might still be right, but you and I can help Jesus to fulfill that purpose to seek and save the lost by you and I admitting that we're lost and allowing him to find us. Wouldn't you say? We know the scriptures say there's celebration in heaven when just one sinner comes home. So when we come home, when we say, Lord, if you don't redeem me, then there's nothing redemptive about my life. Jesus' purpose is fulfilled, isn't it? It is. We become a part of the fulfillment of his purpose. No, I'm not saying we don't give a sacrifice for sin. We can't. That's already done for. But when we enter into his purpose, we help him to fulfill his reason for coming to this earth. Secondly, I want us to think about God's purpose for us in 2018. And there's a scripture, it's Philippians 3. We looked at this past week in prayer meeting, and maybe a few weeks earlier. And I just see a connection to what we're talking about today in terms of having a purpose-driven life. The Apostle Paul wrote these words towards the end of his life. But notice what he says. And just brief context. Before verse 12 here, Paul had written about wanting to experience more of the power of Christ. His sufferings, and also his resurrection. And of course, that hadn't happened yet completely. And so he says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on. And here's the words I want you to notice and think about. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Again, this was towards the end of his life. The King James Version says that I may apprehend why Jesus has apprehended me. Another Bible, which I like, says that I may embrace what he has embraced me for. And so we see, you know, Christ calls us. Christ finds us. He redeems us. He apprehends us. He takes hold of us for a purpose. Now, part of that purpose is to redeem us, to make us a part of a kingdom. But then there's also a purpose that he calls us to. You know, do you know your purpose? We could say, first of all, yes, it's to be a part of his kingdom, but then what has he called you to do specifically? Here's where I would challenge you. Do you have a personal mission statement? You don't have to answer, unless you want to, if you want to raise your hand. If not, good. Amen. If not, I challenge you to create one. And especially for 2018. And to think about the words of Paul there. Again, it's towards the end of his life. But he's saying, I still am pressing forward to grasp why I have been grasped. You know, I'm still looking, Lord, to find out your purpose for my life. And I would suggest to you, as you think about a life purpose statement, that what took place in 2017, that's in the past. God very well may be calling each of us to a new purpose in 2018. I don't know. But we should be open to that possibility, don't you think? And to pray with Paul, Lord, I want to take hold of why you have taken hold of me, 2018. So maybe he's asking you to make a left turn, a right turn, to keep going straight, or to take that fork in the road. Maybe there's a ministry he's challenging you to get involved in. Maybe there's a person in your neighborhood to get close to. You know, somebody's life to touch. Again, I think of Paul's example. He'd done a lot of things at this point. He'd gone on 3 major missionary trips. He'd gone through all kinds of suffering and persecution. He had nurtured the churches over and over and over again, and yet Paul says, I'm still reaching. You know, I'm still striving to understand his purpose for me. That's just a beautiful thing, isn't it? Comment?
How would you believe
Well, and that's where we find listening to God's word through the scripture, through prayer, and we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us through circumstances. Those voices, those messages help us to know which way to go. We have that inner conviction. I want to share with you just a last translation by the Phillips translation of that part of the verse I shared with you. And to conclude with this, we have that up there. I like how Phillips translates it. If not, I'll share it with you. Paul says, let's see. Next verse, please. Let's see. Well, not sure we have the Phillips translation, but I have it right here. He says, with hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead, I go straight towards the goal. And I just like that picture so much, you know, with hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead. And my appeal to each of us is that for 2018, we can enter it like this, with hands outstretched, and saying, Lord, I don't know your purpose for me for this year, but I'm trusting you. My hands are outstretched to show an act of faith, humility, submission, and that I will receive from you whatever you want to give to me, with hands outstretched. Are you willing to present yourself before the Lord that way this morning? If you'd like to do that, I invite you to stand with me, have prayer, and as we pray, to just put your hands out there. You don't have to lift them too high. I know you might not like that. That's okay, too. You can do that. But let's, if you'd like to, just put your hands out, Lord, before the Lord, act of openness to him, saying, Lord, what is your purpose for me this year, 2018? I want to connect to your purpose for me. Let us pray. Lord in heaven, we are grateful for Jesus and his steadfastness as he fulfilled his purpose for us, for the world, for all of creation. And Lord, we're thankful that you included us in your purpose. And we know that you call us, Lord, for a purpose, for a mission, for a reason. We may not know exactly what that purpose is for 2018. But this morning, Lord, we stand before you with heads bowed, with hearts that are humble, with hands that are outstretched. They're open. They're receptive. And Lord, we put them before you in faith. And pray, Lord, that you would just reveal to us your purpose, your mission for us, 2018. By the strength and the grace of your Spirit, Lord, may we fulfill it. May we go straight towards it when we know it, that we will not be deterred left or right, but that we will know your will and your purpose for the glory of your kingdom. We submit, Lord, we commit ourselves to you with outstretched hands just now. In Jesus' name, amen.